Hey, it's you, man, from KC95 here. Good evening and welcome to Toasted Tavern. Your host, Scott Tobin, and the man called Wags are ready to bring you the night in sports. So pull up a stool, grab a drink, and let's get toasted.
And good afternoon. Welcome into a, early bird special edition of the Toasted Tavern. I guess maybe the bar is opened a little early today because Major League Baseball lockout talk is still going on. Meetings are going on down in Florida right now. And I just saw the news that Rob Manfred is down there as well. So maybe that is something, a little smoke to fire of a deal potentially getting done as well. So lots of stuff going on there. And the reason we're on early today is because we have a special guest joining us this afternoon. Somebody in the know, somebody part of Major League Baseball and their coverage of everything. And that's Ms. Dani Wexelman from MLB Network Radio. We're excited to have her back on. Second time guest. It's always nice when a person wants to come on a second time with us. But Dani, welcome back to the show. How are you doing today?
My guys, oh my gosh, I'm so happy to see you. Can you hear me? Can you see me? Is everything A-okay? I know it's backstage and now I'm up here. I want to make sure.
Oh, everything looks great. We can hear you. Everything's perfect.
Hello. Hi. How are we?
Outside of the lockout, pretty good, I think. And the fact that it's about, 30 degrees here in St. Louis and we have all that ice and snow. So outside of that, pretty good, though.
Yeah, my mom told me. My mom has been texting me. She always lets me know when the weather's about to be dicey. And she said that it was pretty bad right now. So I'm in New York. It's actually pretty bad here, too. We didn't get the snow, but the wind is, cutting. The wind hurts my face, guys.
I've been to New York once before. It was October. And we were opening a brand new Chick-fil-A up there, and it was perfect weather. We were there when the Pope was there, too, so it was a really interesting time frame to be up in New York, for sure. But beautiful city, but I can definitely see with the way the buildings are set up, how wind can just cut right through there and chill you to the bone.
Yeah, no doubt about it. October's got to be one of the best times, especially if, regardless of who's in the playoffs, but if one of the New York teams happens to be in it, it's pretty cool to be here for that. The city has this buzz about it in October, so it's really special.
Well, we once again, thank you for joining us for sure. And Scott, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, my one New York experience, I was actually there at Christmas. So that was pretty cool, too.
It was so cool, special. It was cool. I would say my favorite months are September through December. And then these months, the January through March, are tougher here. But it's magical in the fall and early winter here, I will admit.
We got to get up there again sometime in the fall, just because you got to experience that whenever you get a chance to. And the fact that we've been stuck inside for so long definitely means we got to get out and travel a little bit more.
Yes, 1,000%. Come on out. Let me know when you do.
We certainly will. And hopefully it's to come out and see a baseball game. We aren't sure when that's going to actually happen because that lockout has been going on for a while. It started at the beginning of December. And really, it didn't really get going as far as talks are concerned until really just about a couple weeks ago. The owners basically spent about 40 plus days not conversing with the players union. And that's kind of where we want to start at is, was this the plan all along for owners to kind of wait out the players and put them in a bind to where it was only a couple of weeks that they had to kind of pitch things back and forth and really almost make the players concede again and maybe have the owners win again in this instance? Was that the plan all along?
Wouldn't I like to know? It sure feels like it, doesn't it? It sure feels like it's a little calculated. But Rob Manfred said losing games would be disastrous. It would be worst case scenario. And so I know that he works for the owners. That is his job. We did hear him say that. And the fact that now they're basically saying, well, we wouldn't negotiate until how many days in? Right? What would it be? 70 days in, 60 days in for real negotiating. And now we're going to tell you that by Monday, so in 4 days, as we're recording this, 3 days, right? It's Friday, 3 days, 2 days, I don't know, 3 or 2 days, that if you don't come to terms with what we are bringing to the table, then games will be canceled and you will lose money. And again, let's remind everybody that this is a lockout per the owners. The owners decided to lock players out. I had someone text me the other day and they're like, the players are on strike. And I'm like, no, they're not. They're not striking. There's a huge difference between that. And I really hope people understand that there's a lockout and these negotiations could go on. We could start, spring training could start yesterday. They could continue to bargain. The lockout could be lifted and we could get those regular season games started on time. This is a choice by the owners. So I think what's frustrating is people are either on the owner's side or the player's side or neither side. We've seen a lot of apathetic people too, but I don't know if this was their plan because we know that at the end of the day, they are supposed to be negotiating in good faith. Both sides are. And I'm not sure we could say that, but we'll see. They have 2 days, 2.5 days.
So, you know, the owners have come out and said, you know, Monday is a deadline, you know, games will be canceled. You're not going to get paid. We're not going to make those games up. And then we hear players saying, oh, that's not true. We can still play doubleheaders. We can still do this. Do you think players are going to go with that deadline and say, okay, we've got to get this done by Monday? Or do you think they're going to play chicken and say, oh, we can push this. The owners aren't really going to cancel games. They're not really going to take that revenue away, and we can stretch this out and try to make it work to our favor.
I think Evan Drellich of The Athletic had written a piece about alternative ways to get the 162 in, suggesting doubleheaders. To answer your first question, I think they could do 162 and play doubleheaders. Yeah, I think they could. Do they want to do that? No, but they could. We saw that during the pandemic and last year as well. And do I think the players are just going to concede by Monday to get the season going? No. I think they've come this far. They didn't come this far to come this far, right? The saying goes. And if you look back at certain things that certain players have said in the past couple of months, Colin McHugh in November in an article in The Athletic had said, we're going to weather it out. We're here. We have some ground to make up. The last two CBAs didn't go our way. And I think what everyone says is, well, you're not going to get everything, but you probably are going to get one thing. And I don't think that they've come almost 90 days now for nothing. And I don't think that they're just going to secede. But, Max Scherzer said there's a war chest. It's not enough. But I just think at the end of the day, if they were going to give in, I think it would have already happened already. I think they would have been like, we got to get ready. What I'm worried about, I think more than a lot of other things, is how much time will you have to get ready? How will this affect injuries? How will this affect guys who are on the 40-man? How will this affect veteran players who might get booted off? Is a team going to go with a roster they trust and not bring up Bobby Witt Jr.? How does that affect those different things? I'm not concerned about the money as much because at the end of the day, like, I think money is going to be lost on both sides. And I said this on Twitter. It's not just the players who lose or the owners who lose. It's the fans who lose. It's the media. It's the people who work in those stadiums, the people who do odd jobs, people who are a part of this sport and this game who love it so much. They lose too. Everyone loses here.
Well, I hope that Bobby Witt does get called up because I have him on my fantasy team for next year as a keeper. So let's hope Bobby Witt plays next season for sure.
Yeah.
but you bring up a good point about the 40-man rosters too. And if the players do kind of push back and they really try to fight for what they are trying to get, and we do push into potentially lost regular season games, the minor leagues, how are these teams going to be like – promoted? Are owners going to really push these minor league teams out there to try and get people to watch those games and maybe recoup some of that lost revenue for them on that side of things? Because these teams do have stakes in minor league teams. It's a little different than what most minor league systems are set up like that. But will we see a big push even without those 40-man roster guys that can play in the minors? Are we going to see that push at all?
It's so interesting. And I think that it's confusing, to be completely honest. This is my job to know, right? But it's confusing. So I think that the minor leagues have a slew of issues on top of what's going to happen to them. They're not a part of the union, so their season can start. I believe it's April 5th, their season starts. And with or without Major League Baseball, they will go on. Do I think the teams will try to squeeze some capital out of them? I don't really see how they could do that unless they have someone like Bobby Witt Jr. who will draw eyes and draw fans to come out to the ballpark. But I'm not sure how they could really recoup millions of dollars through the minor league system. I think at the end of the day, you've got to start the season. You have to. I think I saw something about the Rangers and what they could lose. I think they open with the Yankees or have the Yankees early on in the season. If those games don't happen, they're not going to be made up. That's per Major League Baseball, the commissioner, the owners. Games won't be made up. They're canceled. That money's lost. So how does that affect, you know, that team who's has their ballpark for the second year and they've got this amazing series to open the season? They're not going to get that back. So that's, I'm not sure what they're going to do to recoup the money. I will say that's where expanded playoffs come in, right? If they get their way, the owners want 14. If maybe the owners are willing to shift a little on the competitive balance tax, which is really where we, I think we've all realized the money lies and literally might be the key to everything if we could get that sorted out. So if they're willing to raise that threshold higher, which is a soft cap, but some teams are using as a really hard cap. If they could raise that, then maybe the players will give them the expanded playoffs and maybe then that money could be made up in that way. I don't know. I'm spitballing here, but I don't know if they could make it back up in the minor leagues. I don't know.
Well, and, you know, with the players saying, you know, we're willing to sit out if we have to, the owner saying we're willing to miss games, Manfred saying it's not really worth, you know, owners aren't making a lot of money. Everybody's thinking about money and fighting over money. Is anybody actually thinking about the game of baseball and protecting the game and the legacy of the game of baseball at this point?
Well, they're supposed to be, right? So you have your core economic issues and then your non-core economic issues, which do involve the game. It does involve what happens with the shift. Are we going to have a pitch clock? Well, you know, we'll see robot umpires in some leagues this season and see how that does. They are supposed to be talking about those issues. But to me, how could you when there's so much more at stake? But I agree with you. I actually feel concerned that the product that's on the field is just as important and the people who are going to watch the game, right? We know the average is 57 years old as of a few years ago, which is fine. That's great. That generation has seen some of the best baseball that's ever been played. But what about those younger groups of people? Where are they? They're gone. They're lost in my eyes. They could be lost for a while until maybe their kids start playing and then they take them to the ballpark, right? That starts to hit that 40 to 60 year range that we see. So I am concerned about what's actually happening on the field. How do we improve the action that's happening? Does that, the universal DH will help with that, right? That will absolutely help with that. There's no doubt about it, but there should be newer ways. We should be thinking of better ways to evolve the game. It's got to evolve. We can't be stuck watching baseball that Rob Manfred watched on his TV. That's not where we're at anymore. I just can't agree with that right now.
Well, and that's a great point about this is Rob Manfred's baseball that he watched before, but he's trying to make a bunch of changes. But those are changes in his mind that may work. Mm-hmm. It just seems like he's not really getting the input from people that you're trying to bring into baseball. And that's led to a lot of negative imagery of him. You know, a lot of fans don't like Rob Manfred. I feel like a lot of players feel, you know, kind of that way a little bit about him as well. You know, what's this going to do to his legacy and how is it really going to affect baseball going forward if you can't make those changes?
I think any commissioner who is loved, except for, I don't know any commissioner who's loved except for Adam Silver. I think that it's just inherently people love to blame somebody and they ultimately will blame the person at the top. But there are, and blame is not the word I want to use when talking about how this game needs to change and evolve. It's just, there's the responsibility falls on a lot of shoulders. It's not just Rob Manfred. It's not just the owners. It's not just the players. It's a collective group of people. You know, he brought in Theo Epstein. He brought in Theo to help with this exact situation. As far as his legacy, I mean, he's done a lot of great things for the game. And I think that this can be saved. I just think at the end of the day, when you're involved in something like this and we're watching it happen so closely, and we haven't really seen this in the age of social media. So it's being examined in a new way. We're seeing players speaking out. That didn't happen 5 and 10 and 15 years ago, right? We didn't really see that. It's a completely different ball game as far as these negotiations go. And I think that fans are speaking up too. I'm not sure what his legacy will be. I think that he mentioned he was a part of the last two negotiations that got done. So he knows what he's doing. And I'm not sure. I'm not sure what it's going to be. I think someone saw him walking over to the player's side today. I don't know. Maybe he's there to, you know, bring an olive branch and try to get this sorted out by Monday.
Well, we've seen, you know, Bud Selig wasn't typically widely loved, but he did near the end of his term get a little bit more respect. I've seen a lot of comparisons between Manfred and Gary Bettman as well. Bettman in the NHL was vilified, still gets booed whenever he goes anywhere. But over the last 5 years or so, I'd almost say that he's become more favorably looked upon by what he's done for the game of the NHL. And it could be the same thing with Manfred, you know, going through the lean times early on, trying to learn his spot, where he fits, how he can get the owners and the players to kind of get together. It may be 10 years from now we look at it and go, yeah, he had a rough start, but he did change the game of baseball in a positive way.
I don't envy him. I think he's in one of the toughest spots as far as a commissioner role goes. And I think that, as I said, in the age of social media, it's just really hard. I don't know a situation, because he works for the owners. So at the end of the day, it's just a tough spot to be in, because he is there to do what they want and what's best for the league. And so that's just a tough spot to be in. I don't know. It's really hard to say.
Well, and like you said, there's so much more social media and people are watching everything he says so much more closely. And he doesn't exactly do himself a whole lot of favors with some of the things that he said, you know, like when he called the World Series trophy a piece of metal and things like that. You know, he's alienated fans just with the way he comes off at press conferences and things like that, because he seems very cocky and kind of condescending when he's talking to the fans as well.
Yeah. And again, like, everything you do and say is under a microscope. And I think in general, the league and the sport needs to evolve. It needs to grow. It needs to change. And I think we need to see more diversity in the sport and at all levels. We need to see more managers, more front office staff, more everybody, players especially. I was just looking up some numbers and some stats for a story I'm working on, and I saw it was about 8% of baseball players in 2020 were Black. And that's not representative of America in the least bit. And that's not representative of what I see at the amateur level. And that's not good enough. That doesn't represent every person who wants to come to the game. And I think that at the end of the day, every single person who's working in this sport, we all have to do better. I need to do better. We all have to find a way. It doesn't just fall on the commissioner's shoulders or the owners or the players. And maybe that sounds like, you know, I'm just pushing it off, but I think that everybody needs to maybe take a little bit more responsibility. It can't just fall to one person at the end of the day. It can't.
And we actually had a great go-between by somebody on Twitter today just about that exact thing, and about marketing of baseball players in a sense as well. I mean, nobody knows outside of LA and hardcore fans who Mike Trout is. So it's not just incumbent on the higher ups to do it. It's incumbent on everybody, us, the media, fans, even other hardcore fans need to start bringing people into the fold and kind of promoting baseball in a way as well. But you talk about, you know, the amateur level. We've got a lot of great amateur baseball throughout this country. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that does get lost in the shuffle of things, is that, yes, Major League Baseball is having issues right now, but there are so much good amateur, minor league, high school baseball throughout the country that we need to do a better job of promoting ourselves. Otherwise, that generation isn't going to move on to the majors at some point.
Yeah, the sport is so special, right? I get to see it from 13 to 21. I cover those guys for a really long time. And this class of 2022 that's coming out, they're going to be game changers. They're so special. They're unlike any group of guys I've ever covered. And that goes for softball as well, on that side, what they're doing to change the game and change the sport and bring all sorts of fans over to watching. They're record-setting numbers for the Women's College World Series last year. And as you said, we need to retain casual fans. We need to retain the diehard fans. We need to retain the moms. We need to retain people who don't know what the sport is, but want to go have a good time with their friends on Monday because it's dollar dog night and beers are $5 until the 4th. So in my eyes, I do think we need to be more inclusive of the people who can come out to a game. Sports are the reason I started working in sports is because I realized what they did for the every person and how powerful they can be, and storytelling and watching someone who's resilient and persevered. And that's all sports. You know, I'm covering stories about kids who have lost a parent, kids who come from underserved communities, and they're fighting to make it. And I think what's frustrating is when fans think, oh, well, you chose that. You chose to be a professional baseball player, so you should just take what comes, the crappy pay, the bad housing, the lack of nutrition. And at the end of the day, you shouldn't be condemned for choosing this as your dream. You get one life, right? Not to be sappy, but you get one. And if that's what you choose to be and you're going to chase it for as long as you can, you should be set up to succeed. And I feel so passionate about this because it resonates in broadcasting and working in entertainment and acting and media and people who didn't choose the job because it pays well. They chose it because they love it. And you shouldn't be said that, you know, just take it, just deal with it. We're better than that. We know better than that. And so at the end of the day, like I do want people to realize that top to bottom, 13 to 21, to the minor leagues, to the major leagues, the people who are playing this game are on average extraordinary humans who want to entertain and they want to make some money and have fun and play a kid's game. That's what they chose. Anybody could have chose that path. And they just ultimately were the ones who did.
Talking about players and making money, jumping back to the majors real quick.
Yeah.
When this lockout does finally end, we're going to have all of these free agents out there that have to find jobs pretty quickly. Do you think a lot of guys are going to go with 1-year deals just to get signed to have a place to play this year and then try to figure out long-term things next year? Or do you think we'll see a bunch of long-term contracts after this lockout?
I don't think we're going to see the long-term contracts. And I would say that I think the trend is going less for long-term contracts anyway. Some people I talk to don't think Carlos Correa will get his 10-year. Some people think he'll go back to the Astros. Some people don't think he'll get $300 million, even though Corey Seager did. So it'll be interesting to watch, but I do think that the trend that we've seen is less years and higher AAV. And I think that when you're unsure of what your team's going to look like or unsure of how much time you have to get things ready, I do think it'll be more 1-year contracts. And I think that's stressful for a player to know that you've got 1 year and whether or not you go, you know, then you go back out to free agency or maybe you get traded within the season. That's 2, 3, 4 homes within a year. It's so stressful. I can't even imagine, but I know that if you want to play, you're just going to take what you can get. There are some players who will have to take what they can get. There are other players you could see hold out throughout spring training. And I we've seen that the past couple of years. There's always one or two guys who it's push, push, push. And then eventually they do get signed. And then we see them join spring training a little bit later. But I think that the guys are getting ready. I think they need to be in a camp with professional trainers and staff to help them get through this. I like I said, concerned about injuries and what's going to happen with their bodies, pitchers, especially the time that they really need to accelerate their pitching programs and make sure they get up to the pitch count before opening day. I don't want that rushed. Why are we rushing? The sport is meant to be slow and poetic. Why are we rushing this most important part to get ready for that 162?
All right. So a two-parter before we let you get out of here, because I know you got a lot of stuff going on.
Yes.
So part one is, do we see a season start on time? Does this get done in a frame where spring training can get in and they can start on time? And the second part of this is, Wainwright last year, Molina last year, Universal DH is coming. Is Albert Pujols a Cardinal when all is said and done?
Man, you're hitting me with hard ones. The optimistic person in me wants to believe that there will not be money or games lost. But the realist in me knows that they are so far off when it comes to that competitive balance tax, that soft cap, the luxury tax for teams to go out and be encouraged to spend more. They are so far from that. And even what the players have suggested, the taxes that the owners want to put on that are ludicrous. And there would be no point to even spend over because you're going to be taxed so horribly. So they are so far on that. They're so far away from that pre-arbitration pool, players from 0 to 3 years of service time who deserve to be paid more money. They were, last I checked, $100 million apart on that. So that's just too much money in 48 hours to get closer on, when I think we've heard all week, the last 5 days they've been back-to-back meetings. It's been incremental. It's barely been moving the needle as far as this goes. And so, no, I don't think they're going to get a deal by Monday unless it's a miracle. I believe in miracles, but I'm being so realistic about this. I don't think they're going to get it Monday, maybe later in the week. I just think they waited too long. It's on them. It falls on both sides. You know, they just both thought that they could get it sorted maybe, or nothing would be hurt. And I think that there's been some damage done, and I hope that they sort it very, very soon. And then will Albert be a Cardinal with a universal DH? Wouldn't we love to see it? Wouldn't we just all love to see Albert back in St. Louis? Why not? I'll say, yeah, why not? With the universal DH, bring the guy back with Yadi and Waino their last years. If John Mozeliak is listening or is going to listen, Mo, you know, dude, respect ya, and this would be so great for the fans. I'm pleading for a move like this. Bring him out, let him finish his career in St. Louis. I think the fans would go crazy for that.
They sure would, and nice invoking the "Do you believe in miracles?" because the miracle on ice was just last week. So that's a great, great tie-in right there. Because Miracle, excellent movie. Gotta love that one too.
Yes, yes.
Well, Danny, thank you again for taking time out to talk with us. Yeah. And I know it's been a stressful time and one of those things where you're trying to figure out what to actually talk about because there's nothing to talk about except the lockout.
I know. My crew at SiriusXM has been phenomenal coming up with, we've done different decades. We're doing Mount Rushmores this week, and they've just been so phenomenal making sure that we are entertaining for hours on end. And I've been really lucky to be a part of it. But those guys behind the scenes, all the producers and the guys who oversee everything, I mean, they've just worked their butts off to make sure that we can continue to talk about baseball and have guests on. It's been hard to have players on. Joe Musgrove was kind enough to come on a few weeks ago with us, but it's been really tough. They're not talking right now, and they shouldn't, you know, they should protect their space. And I respect that. It's just, you know, I miss it. And I can't wait for everything to get on with it so we can move forward and enjoy baseball.
Yeah, we sure can't as well. Danny, one final thing. Where can we find you? Where can people find you to listen in? I know you talked about Sirius. You're all over the place, but you're most of the time, where are you at?
Most of the time, I am working for Perfect Game. I do a ton of work. I have a story coming out I'm pretty passionate about. It's supposed to be an exclusive, so I'll tease it there. I can't tell you anymore, but I've been working on it since October, and I'm hoping that it gets sorted and finished in the next few weeks. I'm really excited to be on Perfect Game TV. And yeah, I host on MLB Network Radio, XM 89, every Sunday from 1 to 4 Eastern. That's where I'm usually at.
Awesome. Well, Danny Wexelman, thank you again for joining us. And
yeah, guys,
we look forward to having you on again because this has been a lot of fun.
Oh, you're the best. I love doing this. I'm glad we can make it work. And thank you for thinking that what I have to say is worth listening to.
It definitely is. So we appreciate it very, very much. And enjoy the unseasonably cold weather up in New York. And hopefully it doesn't snow up there like it did down here.
Thank you, boys. Have a good one.
You too. Danny Wexelman, once again, great knowledge into the MLB lockout. And yes, I know she didn't seem as hopeful as people would hope that people would be hopeful about the MLB lockout, but it is a real true fact that it doesn't look like it's going to get done on time. And it's really just going to come down to, you know, what actually does get worked out. Are we going to lose games? Are we going to see more of those 7-inning doubleheaders like we saw during the pandemic? I mean, it's anybody's guess, and it's going to be a very interesting next week or two just to really see what comes down from this.
Yeah, you know, while she said she wasn't sure that it would get done by Monday, at least she said she thought there was a chance later in the week next week. You know, and maybe that's where you get to the point where you get to Sunday or Monday and you're close enough where you say, okay, we're going to extend this a couple more days and we can still get 162 games, and even if we have to make a couple of those games doubleheaders at some point down the line just to make it all work. You know, I think that would be the ideal thing, is if, you know, you can get it done at least by next week and still find a way to get those 162 in, because while the owners say they're not going to make those games up and they're not going to pay players, you know, the owners don't want to miss 7-10 games worth of money too, you know. So I think that's something along those lines will happen. I'm still optimistic for a Monday miracle, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and you also have to think, too, you know, the players talked about pulling their approval of expanded playoffs if they end up missing games and losing money as well. And that's something that, you know, owners don't want to have happen as well, considering they got approval from the players that they wanted to do this. So it behooves both sides to get this done. And yeah, the hard deadline is Monday, but I think you're right. I think if they are getting closer and feel like something could happen within days, I think the owners hopefully are smart enough to say, okay, yeah, we put the pressure on you to have this done by Monday, but we are so close. Let's push it a couple more days and see if we can come to an agreement and get this thing going. Because I tell you what, it's almost the end of February and I am missing turning on ESPN and watching, you know, Grapefruit League, spring training baseball, middle of the afternoon, you know, Cardinals Twins or Cardinals Red Sox or Cardinals Mets. I'm missing that right now.
Oh yeah, me too. Absolutely. Turn on MLB Network and see highlights, and you know, they're scrambling for things to talk about right now besides the lockout, you know, and you talk about hope and can they get this done at the last minute? I don't know if you remember it. I was trying to remember. I should have looked this up before we came on the show. It was either like 2004, 2005, somewhere like that. The labor negotiation was up and they finished a game and they literally expected the players to go on strike the next day and it got worked out overnight and you woke up the next morning and the Cardinals were still going to play that day because they'd figured it out at the very last second. So it can happen.
Oh, it certainly can. And I do remember that as well. And that was one of those fears. You were like, oh my, this might be the last game we see for a little bit of time. But when push came to shove, they found a way to make it work. Now, once again, that's an instance too, where probably the players lost a little bit more than they probably could have if they would have pushed a little bit harder. And in this instance, I think they are trying to push harder to make something work out. And, you know, Danny said it though, it's kind of on both sides that they didn't start this sooner. You know, the owners held out as long as they could. And the players, I feel like they just didn't push hard enough to get things started a little bit ahead of time. You know, it is incumbent on the owners to come to the table. But if you have players literally beating down the door to your offices to try and get something worked out, that's a whole different story than you not doing anything and the players going, well, are we going to talk? Are we not going to talk? When neither side is really pushing hardcore to get this done, you have to put a little blame on both sides that we're in this spot right now.
You do. But again, you know, it was the owners who said, okay, we're going to lock you guys out. And then we're going to take a break during the holidays. We're not going to talk during the holidays. We'll talk to you in January. You know, again, it goes back to how disingenuous the owners have been in a lot of ways about, you know, negotiating and being in truth and being honest and being fair in their negotiation. I think that was a stall tactic to try to put pressure on the players and try to break the union, like we've talked about so many times the last couple of months.
Yeah, and we'll see how it plays out. Like I said, Monday is the hard deadline for owners. We'll see if that actually sticks. We'll see what happens over this weekend. I mean, last I saw before we came on, there were no plans in place yet to meet over the weekend, but I highly doubt they're going to let the weekend go by without talking. They're down in Florida at Roger Dean Stadium where the Cardinals and Marlins have spring training. They've met for 5 days. There's no reason to say that they're not going to do that going forward on Saturday, Sunday. Rob Manfred is down there. At least he was there today. So maybe, as Danny said, he's taking an olive branch over to the players and they're going to try and figure something out, knock this out, because it's going to look bad regardless on if it's the owner's fault, the player's fault, Manfred's fault, anybody who can be blamed in this instance. If we start to lose games, it doesn't matter who it is. They want to get this worked out. I think everybody wants to get this worked out. And I'm with you. I'm going to be hopeful that we get a Monday miracle, but I do think we're going to be stretching into somewhere midweek, end of the week, before we really see a resolution.
And real quickly, it just ran across the bottom of the screen on MLB Network. Multiple meetings are planned through Monday.
There we go. So let's hope that they can knock some stuff out. Like we said last night on the show, if you start to see like an overnight meeting or an extended meeting into the late evening, early morning, that's when you probably will know that something is coming to a head, because they are going to do everything to the tooth and nail to get it figured out. So when you start to see not just multiple meetings, but when you see them start to stretch longer and longer later into the night, maybe even into the early morning, that's when you start getting excited and going, okay, maybe they are finally starting to push this a little bit closer to realization.
Yeah, and I think so. And I think the fact that you're seeing more and more players, more and more owners showing up in Florida is a good sign, because I think there is more input from guys, and I think you're going to get closer to that. Like I said, I still believe within hope, like I said, praying for Monday, but I think within a week we'll have this done.
Yep, I agree. Bill DeWitt actually got involved for the first time today as well, Cardinals owner. So seeing as how you're, like you said, more owners are getting involved, more players are getting involved, hopefully that's a good sign.
And I'm surprised it's taken him so long, because he was very, very involved in the last negotiation. You know, he was one of the key people that got that done. So I'm surprised it's taken him this long to get involved this time.
Yeah, a little surprising there as well. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll be keeping an eye on that all weekend, and hopefully we'll have some news for you by Monday about this Major League Baseball lockout. We want to thank Danny Wexman again from MLB Network Radio for joining us, talking a little bit about what's going on in the world of baseball right now. It's always great to have her on and hear from her. And what else you got, Scott?
That's it, man. Let's have a good weekend. Hopefully it warms up in St. Louis, and hopefully the next time we join people, we'll be talking about spring training.
Yeah, well, it's supposed to be 60 degrees next week, so it'll definitely have that springtime feel. Let's hope that baseball is associated with that as well.
Yep, and I actually put on Cardinal gear today. This is the first time I've put anything on since the lockout because I'm trying to be optimistic this weekend, man.
Hey, everything will count. Everything will go towards it. Every positive thought will be put our way towards Major League Baseball ending that lockout. All right, guys. Well, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate anybody that hopped on and everybody that listens a little bit later on as well. It's been a pleasure bringing this interview to you today, and we look forward to talking the rest of the season about what's going on in every sport: Major League Baseball, NHL, NFL, NBA, college, high school, everywhere in the Midwest. We'll be talking about that as well. For Scott Tobin, I am Wags. Thank you guys for joining us. Have a great and safe weekend.
Hey, it's you, man, here from Casey. For all your sports news, catch the Toasted Tavern with Scott Tobin and the man called Wags weeknights at 9 p.m. You can follow Toasted Tavern on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Let's get toasted.